Türkiye is a three-dimensional map of history, where each layer of soil marks a lost era. Over the past 4,000 years, at least 10 great empires have risen and fallen here, from the ancient Hittites, Greeks, Romans, Byzantines, to the mighty Ottomans. Each time an empire falls, the next civilization does not erase the past, but builds on the ruins of its predecessor. And when you set foot here, you are not just entering a country. You are walking through thousands of years of world memory. Starting with the first interest. Millions of years ago, Mount Erciyes and its neighboring volcanoes erupted with a fury that reshaped the heart of Anatolia. When the earth cooled, it left behind a soft volcanic canvas, pale, fragile, and waiting to be sculpted. Wind and rain became its patient artists, carving towers, spires, and caverns into a labyrinth so surreal that it feels like the moon collided with the earth. Cappadocia stretches across the heart of Turkey like a living canvas of stone, where soft volcanic tuff has been carved by the elements into thousands of surreal towers and pinnacles known as the fairy chimneys. From the air, the landscape ripples in muted tones of rose beige and amber, a geological poem written over millions of years. At dawn, the sky ignites. Hundreds of hot air balloons drift silently above the valleys, their colors mirrored against the pale cliffs. The rising sun paints the land in gold and crimson, and shadows stretch long across the spires as if the earth itself is exhaling. Beneath this dreamlike horizon lies another world. Entire cities carved eight stories deep into the rock twist through narrow tunnels, chambers, and hidden passageways. Homes, stables, and chapels once echoed with the hum of ancient life, sheltering thousands from the desert sun and foreign invasions. The air underground feels still heavy with centuries of breath. In Gürüm, the open-air museum rises from honey-colored cliffs like a cathedral sculpted by devotion itself, a city of hollowed peaks and silent chambers, where every curve of stone hides a prayer. Inside, winding tunnels connect monastic cells, chapels and cave churches, their walls still breathing with color. The frescoes shimmer faintly under the dim light, ochre reds, cobalt blues, and faded golds, tracing the faces of saints and angels who have watched over these valleys for 1,000 winters. A hill that changed everything we thought we knew about civilization. Imagine standing on a windswept plateau in the vast ancient plains of Anatoly. Göbekli Tepe doesn't rise like a mountain or shine like a city. It waits, silent, ancient, and buried for 12,000 years beneath layers of dust and time. A sophisticated stone complex carved by hunter-gatherers long before the birth of agriculture cities or written language. How could people without metal tools or beasts of burden possess such organizational genius, such mastery of form, such abstract thought? Standing in the wind of southeastern Turkey, you see them colossal T-shaped pillars, each nearly 20 feet tall, arranged in perfect circles. As the golden light of dusk spills across the pillars, you see them, a breathtaking menagerie of lions, foxes, cranes, scorpions, serpents etched in exquisite relief, frozen in motion as if animated by some primordial energy. Each figure seems alive, watching. These carvings whisper of a forgotten world, one where myth and reality were not yet separate. Appears as a white fortress cascading down the mountainside, shimmering in the sun. But as you get closer, you realize it's not ice, it's stone filled with water and light. Pamukkale, the cotton castle, is a masterpiece of nature, a staircase carved by time and warmed by the earth itself. Mineral-rich hot springs gush from the heart of the mountain, spilling over sparkling travertine steps. Each pool is a pale turquoise reflecting the sky. When the sun shines, the entire mountainside glows. Yet this breathtaking beauty is incredibly fragile. Pamukkale is building and transforming itself at every moment, every drop of water, a building block. If the flow dries up, if the mineral balance is disrupted, the cotton castle will stop breathing, petrified forever. A reminder that even the greatest wonders of nature can vanish in the blink of an eye. Above the steps are the ruins of Hierapolis, an ancient Greco-Roman city built on the border of heaven. Marble columns lean over empty streets and ancient baths, and theaters whisper in the wind. But Hierapolis is more than just holy springs and baths. There is a more sinister place here, the Plutonium, or Gateway to Hell. A deep cavern from which deadly gases emanate, causing any creature that enters to collapse, a macabre mystery about the boundaries between life and death, between faith and science, buried right in this paradise. In the heart of Konya lies something that looks less like a lake and more like an eye, vast, ancient, unblinking. Lake Meki, born from fire 4 million years ago, is a double crater lake, a masterpiece of cosmic geometry. The first eruption created a deep, perfect basin. The second 9,000 years later raised a smaller volcanic cone right in its center, a mountain floating on water. From above, it looks surreal rings of turquoise and crimson encircling black volcanic soil, changing color with the seasons like a living organism. When the wind stills, the reflection is so precise that sky and earth seem to merge. Many people say that it is the evil eye of Anatolia, yet there is a haunting beauty in its symmetry, a quiet reminder that destruction and creation often share the same hand. As night descends over Chirala, the mountain begins to breathe fire. Dozens of blue-orange flames flicker from cracks in the stone Yanartash, the burning rock. No wind or rain can silence them. The flames hiss and dance against the darkness, fed by invisible gas rising from deep within the earth. For more than 2,500 years, these flames have never died. For Greek and Roman sailors, this place was more than just a legend. It was a beacon, a natural lighthouse that guided them through the treacherous Mediterranean night. Lake Tuz, Turkey's second largest lake, is more than just a body of water. It's a mirage suspended between heaven and earth. In midsummer, the shallow plains transform into an eerie pink mirror. Each footstep casts a momentary shadow before the light swallows it again. When the wind dies down, the lake becomes crystal clear, reflecting the clouds so perfectly that the horizon disappears. Then, movement breaks the illusion. Thousands of flamingos gather their feathers, glowing like living embers against the pink sky. Together, they feed, dance, and soar in a storm of slow-moving wings, a chorus so colorful it's almost surreal, it's almost unimaginable. Tucked among the pine-covered hills of southwestern Turkey, the lake's clear, deep blue waters seem carved from the sky itself. Its shores glow white, not from sand, but from the mineral hydromagnesite, a substance so rare that NASA studies it to understand the ancient surface of Mars. Every ripple carries a shimmering light. Every breath is filtered through crystal. Lake Salder is more than just a lake. It is a living relic of the early Earth, a geological site that holds the secrets of the formation of our planet's first oceans. Locals call it the Maldives of Turkey, but that name sounds too soothing. There is something wild about it, an almost cosmic serenity. Beyond the cliffs of Fethi lies a wound in the mountains, carved deep by the Sea Butterfly Valley. From above it appears as a blue-green silk strip between two steep stone walls. The descent is steep. The sound of waves grows louder with every step, until the world opens into a hidden paradise. Thousands of butterflies drift through shafts of sunlight, orange, violet, and silver wings flickering like sparks over the river that cuts through the valley. Their flight is not hurried, but rhythmic, as if they're keeping time with the wind. According to old tales, this place was once barren, until Elra, daughter of the forest, and the wind gave her life to restore its beauty. Clinging to the sheer cliffs of the Pontic Mountains, the Sumela Monastery looks as though it was carved by angels rather than men. Sixteen centuries ago, monks with nothing but faith and crude iron tools cut into the living rock, chiseling their prayers directly into the mountain's heart. They built without scaffolds, without safety, and as legend whispers, not all of them lived to see the final stone set. From the valley below, the monastery appears like a white bird frozen mid-flight, trapped between forest and sky. Mist gathers around it each morning, and the mountain seems to cradle it gently, a mother holding her silent child. Inside, frescoes bloom faintly beneath centuries of soot saints with solemn eyes, colors fading like forgotten hymns. The walls still echo with chants that once rose here before invaders came stripping treasures, silencing bells. When the monks fled, it said their prayers sank into the rock, and the mountain has guarded them ever since. Ephesus is not a ruin, it's a frozen heartbeat of an empire. Once pulsed with 250,000 lives, merchants shouting sandals, striking stone music, rising from taverns. Its marble streets, once veins pulsing with life, now gleam under the sun like polished bone. Time moves slowly here, tracing every crack and corner where humanity once thrived. The Library of Celsus stands like an aged scholar, its facade dignified, its hollow windows, gazing at the horizon as if still searching for wisdom. inside thousands of scrolls once whispered with ideas that shaped the ancient world. A few steps away, the Great Theatre yawns open vast enough for 25,000 souls. Speak at its center, and your voice returns to you like thunder from another age. Below the surface, the baths of Varius show Roman ingenuity engineering that married luxury with logic. Water flowed where it was commanded. Heat rose from beneath the floors. Pleasure and precision coexisted in marble halls. And beyond the ruins, fragments of the Temple of Artemis lie scattered, their quiet presence still heavy with reverence. Once Ephesus bowed to Artemis, the goddess of fertility and moonlight. Her temple, one of the seven wonders, stood not as stone, but as a declaration of devotion. When it fell, some said it was divine punishment for the city's arrogance. Others claimed the goddess simply took her light back. The throne of forgotten gods. There is a place in Türkiye where the sky bows down to the earth, Nemrut, a 2,150-meter peak that feels closer to heaven than to the ground below. The mountain is home to one of the planet's most extraordinary archaeological sites, a royal mausoleum surrounded by colossal stone statues that have guarded the mountain for more than 2,000 years. Built by King Antiochus I of Commagene, 69 to 34 BC, the site was both a temple and a mausoleum designed to celebrate the unification of East and West. Antiochus ordered giant steps carved into the rock, each facing the rising and setting sun. On these steps, he placed rows of giant seated statues, each nearly 10 meters tall, portraits of gods drawn from both Greek and Persian mythology. Among them were Zeus, Oromastes, Apollo, Mithras, Heracles, Artanes, Fortuna Tich, and Antiochus himself, depicted as equals to the gods. The statues, some weighing 10 tons, were hoisted into the sky by sheer will, arranged to face eternity in a silent ritual. However, the king's true resting place has never been found. It lies somewhere in the mountains, hidden from both history and discovery. Lake Van stretches like a mirror of sapphire beneath the snow-capped peaks of eastern Turkey. Vast, unpredictable, and older than memory itself. Locals call it a living being. It changes mood with every season, breathing storms one day and calm reflection the next. Scientists say its water is too alkaline to support much life. Yet fishermen swear that something moves beneath something immense. For decades, whispers of a creature have rippled across the lake's surface. The Van monster, a phantom said to emerge on moonless nights, stirring the waters into silver whirlpools. Some call it myth. Others recall shapes rising from the deep, a scaled shadow slipping silently back into the dark. Whether imagination or truth, the legend has become part of the lake's identity, as inseparable as its waves. Floating near the center lies Akdamar Island, cradling one of the most beautiful churches in Anatolia. The 10th century Church of the Holy Cross. Its stone walls are alive with carvings, kings, prophets, and vines curling like veins of light. Against the lake's deep blue, the crimson tufa stone glows with the calm dignity of an ancient secret. It is said that when the wind passes through the church's arches, it sounds like a choir that never ends. There are many rumors that the lake guards it like a jealous god, calm, until provoked beautiful, but merciless. Life cannot thrive here, yet legend does. The monster and the monastery, one born from fear, the other from faith, forever bound by the same endless blue. Patara is known today for its endless beaches, but few would suspect that just behind those sand dunes lie the ruins of one of the most important cities of the ancient kingdom of Lycia. Over 2,000 years ago, Patara was the region's largest seaport, where ships from the Mediterranean docked and brought goods, beliefs, and stories from all over the ancient world. As you enter the ruins, the first thing that appears before your eyes is the Roman Theatre. Built in the 2nd century, this theatre once held thousands of spectators, the place where performances, ceremonies, and meetings of the Lycian people took place. Although buried by sand and wind for centuries, the structure of the stage stands, and entrances still retain their shape, as if the city had just fallen asleep and not collapsed. The highlight of Patara is probably the three-arched city gate built under the governor Metius Modestus. This was once the main entrance to the city, a symbol of power and wealth. The large stone slabs still bear traces of the sophisticated construction techniques, something that engineers today still find difficult to explain without modern machinery. Istanbul doesn't sit between continents. It rules them. Draped across Europe and Asia, the city rises like a queen, with one foot in myth and the other in modernity. Empires built her crown layer by layer, Greek, Byzantine, Ottoman, each one leaving a jewel refusing to fade. Beneath her streets lie cathedrals of shadow, the Basilica Cistern, its columns standing in eternal twilight. Medusa carved at the base, as if still defying every gaze. Above ground, the city glitters. The Bosphorus runs through her like a vein of silver, dividing and uniting her hearts with two souls beating in one body. The Galata Tower watches over the Bosphorus like a century of time. In Ottoman legend, an aviator once leapt from its peak with wooden wings and soared across the strait, the first dream of human flight. Below, the city still hums with that same defiance, as if gravity itself bends to Istanbul's will. The Blue Mosque stands opposite Hagia Sophia, two giants in an endless dialogue between faiths. The mosque's six minarets pierce the sky like silver pens, while inside 20,000 blue Isnik tiles shimmer with divine geometry. Across the square, Hagia Sophia, part mosque, part museum, glows under its massive dome, defying identity itself. And then Topkapi Palace, the empire's beating heart, for 400 years. Its courtyards still hold the echo of silk and steel, of whispers from the Sultan's harem, where power and desire coexisted behind latticed walls. High above the turquoise coast of southern Turkey, Myra rises like a colossal gallery of stone facades carved by the Lycian people over two millennia ago. Each tomb looks like a miniature house frozen mid-breath, their doorways staring outward into eternity. From below, they resemble a city for spirits suspended between earth and heaven. The Lycians believed that winged beings, half bird, half divine, would carry the souls of the dead to the afterlife. To help them reach the sky, they built upward, carving their homes of eternity into the mountain face. At the heart of the necropolis lies the tomb of Amyntas, grand and solemn, its columns carved with a precision that has outlived empires. Step closer and you can still see the tool marks, strokes of human hands that challenge the impossible. Who was Amyntas? A noble A warrior, or just a man who wanted to sleep closer to the gods? No one knows. At sunset, the tombs turn gold, their shadows stretching like fingers down the cliff. In that light, it's easy to believe the Lycians were right, that wings once swept through this air, carrying souls toward the fading sun. Ichlara Valley is no ordinary valley. It is a long, deep ravine, silently carved into the volcanic rock of Cappadocia by the Melendez River over millions of years. From above, the valley looks like a giant crack opening in the arid plateau, but step down, and you will encounter a completely different world. Lush greenery, the sound of running water shade, and sheer rock walls that reach nearly 100 meters high. The people who lived here not only sought shelter, but also turned the rock into a sacred place. Throughout the valley, there are about 80 ancient churches and monasteries built between the 6th and 11th centuries. Many churches still retain intact frescoes with red, blue, and yellow colors, creating biblical stories right on the cliffs. And amidst all these ruins of faith and time, the Melendez River continues to flow, nurturing life, keeping its green, and protecting what remains of one of Cappadocia's most important hermitages. Associated with the Iliad, the ancient city of Troy is a place where history and legend seem to blend together. As soon as you step through the city gate, you will see the Trojan Horse, a giant structure built based on the imagination of Homer's epic poem. Its bowed head, its silent posture makes it a symbol of a story that has lived in human memory for thousands of years. But then that overwhelming feeling quickly gives way to silence as you go deeper into the ruins. Troy today appears through stone ruins. The road leading to the city is only dirt and gravel. The ruined walls are scattered on the steep hillsides. Few trees grow here. Only a few ancient olive trees stand alone as the last witnesses to this city through 10 periods. Going deeper, you will come across the ancient theater, built from stone blocks arranged in an arc. Though it can only hold a few hundred people, the small structure is still enough to evoke the performances and community meetings of a once prosperous city. And standing on the ancient city walls, looking out over the Dardanelles and the valley beyond, you'll understand why this land has always been at the heart of civilization. Troy's wealth and strategic location were probably the real cause of the war, and Helen, many say, was just the pretext for a major conflict. Olympus was once described as the heaven of the gods, but the actual peak is so cold that it is almost lifeless all year round. In ancient Greek imagination, this was the residence of Zeus and the 11 supreme gods, the summit of heaven where humans could not reach. The remains of the theater baths, basilica, and mausoleum tell the story of a city that existed from the 3rd century BC, once bustling with trade, but then gradually fell silent. The stone walls are covered with ivy and moss, making the whole scene look like a city just waking up from a millennia-long sleep. Walking down the valley, the sounds of the forest fade to the sound of waves as you reach Olympos Beach. No resorts, no noisy streets, just sand pebbles and ocean. At night, this beach becomes a rare place in the Mediterranean where you can see the starry sky without the city lights blocking it. All this is contained within the Olympos Beydalar National Park, where sea mountains and myths come together. Dalyan unfolds like a secret drawn in water. A labyrinth of emerald channels snakes through tall reeds, their tips whispering with the wind. Boats glide silently along the maze, cutting narrow paths through reflections of sky and stone. It feels as if the world has slowed to the rhythm of the river's pulse. Above these calm waters carved high into the cliffs, lie ancient Lycian tombs. Their facades watch over the delta like guardians of a forgotten age. Some locals believe the spirits of those entombed still linger watching the living drift. By below their gaze, soft but unyielding, and yet Dalyan is more than its ghosts. Downstream, the river opens into Istusu Beach, a long golden curve, where the sea turtles Caretta return every year to lay their eggs. These creatures travel thousands of miles across the Mediterranean, only to find the exact patch of sand where they were born. Their journey defies logic, an instinct older than civilization itself. At dawn, Mount Ararat emerges like a dream of stone, vast, motionless, crowned in white fire. Its twin peaks pierce the clouds, catching the first light before the rest of the world awakens. The air here feels thin, ancient, heavy with secrets older than scripture. For millennia, people have looked to this mountain for answers. When the waters of the Great Flood receded, legend says Noah's Ark came to rest upon this very summit. Science searches for traces of wood and ice. Faith sees proof of survival. The brown wild sheep of Ararat are renowned for their almost preposterous climbing prowess. They move in small groups, always keeping a tight formation. The leader leads by innate memory of ancient paths learned from previous generations. The young walk in the middle of the herd, protected by an outer circle of their bodies, a survival strategy they almost never break. After hours of climbing, the herd stops at a small stretch of flat land to rest. This moment is so rare that they eat very quickly with an adult standing guard the entire time while the herd nibbles. Off the southern coast, a fortress rises from the sea like a floating crown of pale stone. Kızkalesi, the maiden's castle, glitters under the sun, its reflection trembling on the turquoise water, as if unsure whether it belongs to land or legend. The tale begins with a prophecy. A king desperate to defy fate raised these walls to keep his daughter safe from the serpent foretold to end her life. The castle rose like a crown of hope above the waves. But fate has no borders. One morning, a basket of fruit arrived from the mainland. And inside, a serpent slept. When it struck prophecy and love, both fulfilled themselves in one breath. Centuries later, the sea still murmurs around the island, its waves beating softly against the stone as if mourning something it could not protect. From above, the island takes the shape of a broken heart, one half lost to the deep. Nestled in the hills above the Aegean. Kayako looks like a painting, drained of color. Four 400 stone houses climb the slope like steps of an abandoned amphitheater. No doors, no roofs, only hollow windows staring into the distance, waiting for a curtain that will never rise again. When the great population exchange of the 1920s tore neighbors apart, the villagers left everything. Keys still hanging on doors, icons still on walls. Those who came after never stayed. They said the silence felt too heavy, as if the air remembered too much. In the heart of Anatolia lies Konya, a city that never stops moving. This is where the great philosopher, poet, and mystic Mevlana Rumi lived, wrote, and left a spiritual legacy that has influenced hundreds of millions of people. The first stop is the Mevlana Museum, which is astonishing, not for its beauty, but for its paradox. A famous Sufi who rejected the world is buried in a magnificent mausoleum complex, visited by thousands of people every day. Inside halls displaying Quranic manuscripts, exquisite tapestries, and Sufi artifacts reveal the world of spinning dervish, a tradition that has lasted for 700 years. In particular, the Semahane, where dervish spinning rituals are performed, is still in operation, showing a faith that has never died, despite the changing times. From Mevlana, the journey leads to a little-known fact. Konya was once the seat of power of the Seljuk Empire, and the proof is that the Aladdin Mosque, where 8 sultans were buried, is located right next to a 12th century marble gate. More than just a place of worship, it was once a throne house in the true sense of the word. Konya also holds another example of cultural exchange, the Azizye Mosque, where traditional Ottoman styles meet 19th century European architecture, a fusion that surprises even architectural historians. And as Ottoman architecture expanded its power map, it reached its peak with the Selimiye Mosque. Although located in Edirne, it marked the period when Konya became a training ground for masons, architects, and artisans. Including Koka Mimar Sinan himself, who laid the foundations for this structure, now a UNESCO World Heritage Site. Turkey is not just to see, but to understand how a land retains its soul through thousands of years of change.